First lesson today is from Kings, going back to 1 Kings, the next chapter in the saga, so to speak. First 13 verses of chapter 11, you're welcome to follow along in your own Bibles, the Pew Bibles, or simply in your hearing, but receive with open hearts the Word of God. King Solomon loved many foreign women, along with the daughter of Pharaoh, Moabite, Ammonite, Edomite, Sidonian, Hittite women, from the nations concerning which the Lord had said to the Israelites, "You shall not enter into marriage with them, neither they shall they with you, for they will surely incline your heart to follow their gods." Solomon clung to these in love. Among his wives were 700 princesses and 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. For when Solomon was old, his wives turned away his heart after other gods, and his heart was not true to the Lord his God, as was the heart of his father David. For Solomon followed Astarte, the god of the Sidonians, and Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. So Solomon did what was evil in the sight of the Lord, and did not completely follow the Lord as his father David had done. Then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab, and for Molech, the abomination of the Ammonites, on the mountain east of Jerusalem. He did the same for all his foreign wives who offered incense and sacrificed to their gods. Then the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart had turned away from the Lord, the God of Israel, who had appeared to him twice and had commanded him concerning this matter that he should not follow other gods. But he did not observe what the Lord commanded. Therefore the Lord said to Solomon, "Since this has been your mind, and you have not kept my covenant and my statutes that I commanded you, I will surely tear the kingdom from you and give it to your servant. Yet for the sake of your father David, I will not do it in your lifetime. I will not tear it out of your hand. I will tear it out of the hand of your son. I will not, however, tear away the entire kingdom. I will give one tribe to your son, for the sake of my servant David, and for the sake of Jerusalem, which I have chosen." The word of the Lord, my friends.
Thank you.
Our New Testament lesson today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11. I'm actually going to read verses 29 to 32. I guess for all those times I made you read more, I'm going to read a couple verses less this time. Hear this exchange from Jesus. When the crowds were increasing, Jesus began to say, "This generation is an evil generation. It asks for a sign, but no sign will be given to it except the sign of Jonah. For just as Jonah became a sign to the people of Nineveh, so the Son of Man will be to this generation. And the Queen of the South will rise at the judgment with the people of this generation and condemn them, because she came from the ends of the earth to listen to the wisdom of Solomon. And see, something greater than Solomon is here. The people of Nineveh will rise up at the judgment with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the proclamation of Jonah. And see, something greater than Jonah is here." This week, thinking about Solomon and his life has taught me something. I know I look like some old man. Okay, you can, all right, I guess you agree with me. But you may be surprised to hear that my wife is actually older. One of you continues to wonder if she's one of my daughters, which she genuinely appreciates. But in fact, my wife is a little bit older than I. Now, what I learned this week is that she might even be older than that, quite a bit. Now I'm thinking that she may have been around in the days of Solomon. It certainly seems like she taught him a thing or two. No, Anne likes to share. One of the big lessons that she teaches her students in class is that when they're married one day, if and when, the most important thing that they could ever say is, "Yes, dear." She has come to realize that it is critical for spouses to be able to respond to the needs of their partner with these simple, crucial words that you all know is true, "Yes, dear." Of course, she's a bit tongue-in-cheek about this, and it is, but this is exactly, isn't it, where Solomon ends up in his life and rule, sadly, and where he loses his wisdom and where he fails God. The kingdom of Israel is ripped apart because Solomon can't stop saying, "Yes, dear." For the record, there is some wisdom in what my wife is saying in her lesson, but that's because we only have one spouse at a time. Could you imagine having 700 spouses at once? We don't know whether Solomon went overboard making political marriages or whether he just went wife crazy or maybe some version of both. What we do know is that he ended up with far more, many more wives than he could ever responsibly relate to. So when he said, "Yes, dear," he got into trouble. You heard in the passage how he had built these shrines and altars in the high places for his wives, as they had their needs from their religious traditions. But what was even worse was that he apparently joined them in their worship of these other gods. If there is one absolute no-no for the people of God, it is this. You might remember commandment number one. You shall have no other gods before me. In a stunning reversal for the wisest man to ever exist, Solomon makes one of the biggest mistakes. It doesn't matter whether he writes several wisdom books or amazes people with his answers to their situations or can riddle people to their heart's content. If he cannot follow God's own God-given wisdom, he's in trouble. Of course, it was not just one mistake, but a culmination of choices that turned his heart away from God. Yes, he turned his back on the God of his father David, who claims to be a jealous God, in that God wants to have our whole attention. You might recall one of the bedrock wisdom passages that we can reasonably imagine that Solomon wrote himself is that the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. Now, you might think that's kind of a strange thing to say if you're not familiar with that already. And I'm not really going to unpack it completely here, but the snapshot is that if you have a very healthy reverence for God, then you will do what you should be doing because you really care what God thinks about you. While I reject the idea that God wants us to be terrified of the Almighty. It's kind of like the great and terrible Oz. I don't think we need to be shaking in our boots before our holy and heavenly Father. We should be very conscious of how we live into God's expectations. That is the wise thing to do, to take what God has to say most seriously and intentionally live by God's truth. Same thing largely applies to listening to your parents, doesn't it? Children who really want to follow what their parents say are going to do well and be successful and not cause a good bit of trouble. They appear wise. But of course, we know how that turns out. Did anyone here follow your parents and everything? Has anybody here followed all of God's laws completely and perfectly? Those instructions, anybody? Well, I'm going to take the lack of raising of hands to confirm my suspicions. Yes, nobody has, right? None of us was as good as we should have been in listening and respecting and following the law of God or our parents. Well, I guess you could take some consolation in the fact that you're in good company. Even the wisest person in history did the same thing, and even worse. You would think that if anyone could stick with God's wisdom, it would have been Solomon. But it turned out very badly for him. It looks like he gave up wisdom nearly altogether. Our problem is that it's so very easy to swap out one wisdom for another. As we go through life and learn how the world works and how we can get along and get ahead, we develop our own sense of wisdom that seems to be helpful. It's not wisdom learned easily, and we earn it through our failures. Some of us even pride ourselves for learning the hard way through the school of hard knocks. Right? We develop ways. We learn ways to navigate the world and all of its challenges, we figure out what works for us and what does not. There's nothing wrong with becoming smarter and wiser through life and the experiences we have with others. What we cannot do, however, is to forget the beginning of wisdom, or we, like Solomon, will find ourselves at the end of wisdom. If only we could figure out what that fear of the Lord actually means. Remember that first dream conversation between God and Solomon? Back when Solomon asked for wisdom. Remember why he wanted wisdom? Over power and wealth or health, you know, anything else. Do you remember why? He wanted to be a good king. He wanted to take care of the people of God. He wanted to rule for them with a godly heart and take care of them like his father David had done. Yes, yes, yes. I think we have just hit on what the fear of the Lord is supposed to lead us to. Absolutely, we are supposed to listen to God with serious attention and deep reverence, holy awe in the presence of God's magnificence. We should be riveted by God's overwhelming presence. But if we listen to the kinds of things that God wants us to do, we end up taking care of others, respecting their life, honoring our relationships, guarding the welfare of those around us who are in need, being good participants in community, all kinds of ways that God has given us to be the people God is calling us to be. Solomon understood this. He was supposed to care for the people. But his eyes got too big for him with those dreams of building and expanding and making himself the envy of the world, which is when he enslaved thousands and thousands of his own people. His heart got too big for him when he could take wife after wife and concubine after concubine. That's when he began building religious shrines for them and joining in their worship. He could no longer care for his people as a man after God's own heart. He was caring for them as someone who loved himself first. In a much simpler and more beautiful way, Jesus points us to God's greater wisdom when he was asked what the greatest commandment was. You remember? You recall what he said? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and strength, your entire self. Kind of sounds like fear of the Lord, doesn't it? And love your neighbor as yourself. They go hand in hand. Jesus doesn't separate either as being lesser. The love of God, our reverence for God, our fear of the Lord, means that we will earnestly care for the people, the children of God. As it turns out, the beginning of wisdom and the end of wisdom, as in the goal of wisdom, are really the same. It's all about honoring God with all that we have to the best of our ability throughout our lives. If we begin in wisdom, we also need to end in wisdom. This is our wisdom goal. Solomon's wisdom actually ended, but we are looking to finish our lives in greater wisdom. That's what Jesus is calling us to in that passage from Luke 11. Both Jonah, the Jonah reference, and the Queen of the South reference are of the power of God reaching across the world beyond the borders of the nation. It was obvious in their days how amazing God was. They didn't need signs to see God. Jesus is the powerful presence of God, calling us to greater life today. This would not be a very good sermon on wisdom if I didn't leave you with a little bit of wisdom too. We're all at very different stages of our lives, and we've all had different paths and learned different lessons through life. Our schools of hard knocks has worked, and we are still trying to graduate, but not too quickly. There's always time to get ourselves back into a wiser disposition. It's always a good day to be wiser, to seek better wisdom. The wisdom of this world will not cut it. We might achieve more or earn more or do more, but it will not be for God's glory. It's up to us to make what we have and what we do count. It's up to us to turn back to the only good fear, the fear of the Lord, and God's demand that we care for the people of God. Someone once said, here's the test to find out whether your mission in life is complete. If you're alive, it isn't. Sorry, you're not done. Nobody here's done yet. Wisdom is here for us to share. We have been given the beginning of wisdom, and we're charged with carrying it through to the end. This is our mission. And to that end, may God have the glory. Amen.